So thank you, everyone. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Carletta, for facilitating and collectively sharing and holding space. It's so beautiful when we all come together to hold space. Today, I wanted to share about a book I've been reading, place it in the context of the Dharma. Let the Dharma as the frame hold it. I don't think I usually recommend books, maybe Dharma books. This is not necessarily presented as a Dharma book, and yet it's quite dharmic. So the name of the book is called The Power, no, wait, the name of the book is called Defy, DEFY, Defy. Some of you who know me might understand why I immediately was called to this book. And the subtitle of it is The Power of No in a World That Demands Yes. The Power of No in a World That Demands Yes. Yeah. It's a recent publication. Dr. Sunita Sa, she's an Indian English female person, a clinical psychologist, and a medical doctor trained who lives in England. And my interest initially in this book was the way she defined defiance as standing up for your values. Standing up for your values, which, if you think about the way we learn about defiance, societally, it's often cloaked in a negative connotation. We're going against something, we're negating something, we're and I like the way she presented it, that defiance being something that is actually affirming of values, yeah, affirming our values. And also, as I've been reading the book, I'm not finished yet, chapter 7 or 8, I think. Showing that historically, we've been brought up, and she's speaking mostly from England, some from India, because her parents are immigrants from India, I think Pakistan and India. And it felt very the same here in the US for me, that we're brought up to think that when we don't do what is expected of us, conform, that it's bad. And then when we do what is expected and we conform, so I'm doing like expected with the finger quotes, and good, we conform and we're good. So I'm doing quotations of we're good. And when we defy, it's bad. And she gives examples. So she's a researcher now, and because she's so intrigued with this defiance and how we do it. And she also notes, as she's bringing up her child, that she herself fell into this normalization, telling her child, be a good boy and listen to mommy. Be a good boy and listen to what mommy told you to do what mommy says. And finding herself using those words like, don't be a bad boy and not do what mommy wants you to do, right? So showing also just her own lived experience of how we've really brought our children up. Now we're adults, and we as adults are bringing our children up when we're unaware in these same ways, instilling in them this pattern of right, wrong, conformity, and defiance. And I was really stuck by this. And then I started reflecting it into the Dharma, into the teachings. And the whole way I see the Dharma is one of defiance to the social norms. And maybe that's why when I first looked at the title and I read a little bit about what the book was, it really connected to me, for me, to what the Dharma is. And what I did was I pulled three kind of very typical, well-known teachings from the Dharma, and really want to share how the teachings are really, in fact, defiance, defiance against the social norms. And just in case we think that they're not, I'm going to show the three teachings that really go against that. So one of them is the five mindfulness trainings. Many of you know the five mindfulness trainings. In different traditions, it's known as the five precepts. Across Buddhism, these are the sort of the root teaching when we start to practice in Buddhism and the Dharma. In our tradition, the Plum Village tradition, we labeled them and expanded them into the five as the five mindfulness trainings. And as you know, the five trainings are reverence for life, which we interpret in the precepts as no killing, non-stealing, not taking something that's not yours, no sexual misconduct. The fourth is around speech, not lying, not using violent speech, not gossiping. And the fifth is the consumption, not consuming basically any nourishment that causes us to take in unwholesome things, not just food, but unwholesome media, unwholesome conversations, unwholesome images, unwholesome places. So when we look at those five trainings, you see that in our society, the norm is to have no reverence for life. We don't have reverence for people of color, colors, peoples of color life, right? Historically, the United States has felt that the life of Black people, Native Indigenous people, was unworthy, sufficient so to kill them. Yeah, take their land, exploit them. For Asian Americans and Asian ancestral people, to use their labor in the formation of the country, the roads, the railroads, and when the labor was no longer, quote, needed, immigration acts that would prevent them from migrating anymore. And the way that there's no reverence for Latinx lives, in the sense of a war that took land and expelled millions of people, Mexican people. And I won't even talk about current day immigration policy that's going on, the caging of people who are condemned as illegal to the United States, even though the taking of the land was an illegal in the very first place, illegal act. But we really have no reverence for life. We have historically shown that we have no reverence for life of certain people. Yeah. And in this day and age, we continue to hold that up, no reverence for certain lives only. We're looking now at a very clear monopoly for wealth. Those who have wealth can make the rules, and those who don't, there's no reverence for them. And so, if we're going to conform to that and be a good girl and good boy or good gender identity norm, even that, right? Anything, the gender, we have to be gendered. We have to be conform to male superiority over female superiority. We have to conform to non-immigrant, meaning people born in this U.S. Now we're really clear. We weren't clear before. We're really clear now that the people who are born in this country are the ones that are right, and the people who weren't, they're wrong. Whether you're born as a citizen, migrated, naturalized, quote, legally. And so if we were to really live into the values of the country, of the United States of America, we would really be not practicing the Dharma. And so in essence, just looking at this one training, and I need to not spend so much time on just this one, but I think you understand what I'm saying, which is that to live the Dharma is to defy the social norm. If we were to practice reverence for all life, yeah? And it's like that with the other four. It's okay to steal people's land. Really, it is. It's normal. It still is today. It's happening all the time. The country was built like that. The U.S. was. And other countries we know, there's this continuous taking of land. You're looking at Gaza. Let's talk about the Panama Canal. Let's talk about Greenland. The annexation of Canada. Seriously. Right? So this stealing is just really very normal. Stealing people's money through taxes. Yeah. Stealing ideas. Just taking what is not yours because you have the right. So again, in order to live a life in line with the Dharma teachings, we really would want to and need to decide that we must defy and not conform. And it's like that with the other three. Sexual misconduct and the president of the current president of the United States. I'm not even going to say anything else after that. Not to mention all the people that, many of the people he pulled into leadership cabinet positions. That sexual misconduct is now normalized. It's okay for people who are in leadership of this country to practice that and to be legally named for practicing sexual misconduct and also to take leadership. And so if we really want to bring our children up in a world that says the Dharma, which is that sexual misconduct should not be practiced, basically we're defying, again, the norms. And so it is with speech, lies, and consumption, what we're being fed, and then the choice of us, what we'll take and eat. So do you see that conformity, we're in a time when conformity is actually, stepping out of our path of liberation, stepping out of our path of practice. And no time, at least in our lifetimes and walking this earth, the people who are here today, has it been so crystal clear that conformity to the social norms is really against the Dharma. I'm not speaking about previous times because it was very clear in other centuries across the world. But right now, in this time, it's very clear. And so defiance is really, in my humble opinion, a practice of Dharma in these days. And the reason I say this in such clarity is that actually, if we don't defy, we're not in line with the Dharma. We're not on the spiritual path that we say we're with. The interbeing, the understanding of interbeing, the interconnectedness, the codependency of how we live in the world. We're really in the time again of let's really worship separation. Let's not think of our neighbors. Let's not offer any refuge. The laws that are coming out and the orders that are coming around immigrants, people afraid to go to work. And then on a country level, this the way that the United States is acting toward other countries as far as being neighbor, USAID, all these other international ways that we see our connection on a global scale. Right now, the real practice of fragmentation and separateness is really what is being taught. Again, what is being normalized more and more. And so, yes, the Dharma says we're not about that. The Dharma says we're about understanding and realizing. Thay says our reason to be here is to basically defy this illusion of separateness, right? That's what the Dharma says. Defy this separateness. It's an illusion, and yet we're very much as a society trying to put it into practice. So I just want to, I mean, there's other key Dharma teachings that fundamentally defy the current and the historical, quite honestly, foundation of the so many of the social norms. So I'd like to close with the understanding that to practice the Dharma is really to be in allegiance with the mindfulness trainings, the understanding of interbeing and interconnectedness, the understanding of the four Brahma Viharas, loving kindness, compassion, joy for others, and equanimity, finding balance with each other. All these practices and teachings actually go against the norm of what is being held up. Goes against fascism, goes against authoritarianism, it goes against totalitarianism. And so, what I'm inviting us into is to really hold the Dharma close to your hearts in these times, and to be very clear that as spiritual practitioners, that as we practice in a society that basically is saying conform to these very these norms of greed, hatred, and delusion, because this is really where we're at. We're pronouncing and elaborating these three poisons, that we are really in good company. We are in company with the Buddha Dharma. We are in company with Bodhisattvas. We're in company with all the Buddhas that came before. And so we are in really, we're in a good stead. We're in good place. As we practice the Dharma, because just by practicing the Dharma, we are in fact going against the stream of what our society is asking us to do. So I'm going to close there. The book is called Defy. It's a good read. And it offers lots of good understanding of why it is that we are a society of conformists. And that only because we have been a society of conformists have we continued to usher in the kind of norms that are here now. So I think it's a nice way to think about when we practice the Dharma, how do we change what it is that we are agreeing to and what we're not agreeing to. So thank you for listening. I'll invite a sound of the bell for us to let the Dharma move through us and go back into the earth. We don't need to hold tight to anything. We can let it all go.